Good morning.
Good morning, Anoka. It's Bob.
How you doing?
I'm here. I'm sleepy.
Well, at least I'm up this time.
I want to go on mute.
Good morning.
Good morning, Laura.
How are you?
I'm doing well. And yourself?
I'm doing good, thank you.
We're going to be starting in 1 minute. We'll give some other people a chance to join us.
Okay.
Got you.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Please join me in saying the Anabakoff. Anabakoff. It glad you need. Shabbatina. Elu Kabel, Shema Shkakatenu, Yodea, Talumot, Shinkufav, Tadiyutaf. And the letters, the names of God that we utilize during this 3-week period, the meditations, please follow along. And if you're not able to follow along visually, do it orally. The right column name. Tet Dalet, Hey Dalet. The left column name. Kaf Vav, Zion Vav. And the central column name. Mem Tzadi, Pei Tzadi. The gematria of these three names is 360, which is creating a shin, which is the gematria of the letter shin, fully spelled out, shin yud nun. The word tzerah, which means troubles, is the same letters as the word retzeh, desire. And by adding the name Adonai to this word tzerah, we're able to transform. We're able to build a shin of 360, which allows us to transform the troubles into opportunities. And now that we have created two shins, we're connecting ourselves to the phrase Sim Shalom, which has a gematria of 726. And the two shins have a gematria of 720. But when we add the kolel for the six names, the right column name, the left column name, the center column name, the name of Elohim, the name of Adonai, and of course the tetragrammaton. When we add these six kolels, these six names, we get to this phrase, Sim Shalom 726, which allows us to inject the consciousness of balance. That is the energy of the shin. And we do this with the passion that is the energy of the shin. And by injecting passion and balance into this period, we're able to bring peace into this period, to bring peace and balance into this period of negativity and transform it from that of mourning to the birth date of Mashiach. And the eighth verse we say in a whisper, Good morning to all. Today's handout is available on the Yeshem website. And it's available by going to the Yeshem website, to the Revealed Wisdom section, and scroll down to the Matrix. And then on the Matrix, the ninth row is the Sefer Yetzirah class in the second to the left column. The second from the left column. And when you click on that Sefer Yetzirah class series, you get to the page where you can scroll down to class number 6, which is today's class, and open up the handout. And today's class is rather an important class, because today's class is Mishnah number 3, the balanced Mishnah. But if you have different books other than the Ramak, then most of the Mishnah, most of the Sefer Yetzirah, most of the different versions has this Mishnah as Mishnah number 4. Eser Sefirot Lima. Eser Velo Tesha. Eser Tevo Velo Achat Esar. Eser. Hayem Bechachma. Bechacham. Bebina. Bechom Bahem. Bechachor Mehem. Behaamod. Devar. Al Boin. The Hashuv Yetzer Al Mekono. 10 Sefirot Blima, usually translated Bima, Blima, translated as nothingness. But that's not its best translation. Blima, without what? 10. And not 9. 10. And not 11. Understand with wisdom. Be wise with understanding. Examine with them and probe from them. Make things stand on its essence. And stand a thing upon a pedestal, a base, a foundation, a creator. And restore the former to its place. Please remember that the whole of chapter 1 is dealing with and explaining as best as words accomplish the Sefirot of Blima. Blima has the meaning of without essence, without materiality or physicality. The Sefirot are levels of consciousness. Do you remember what the Ramban Nachmanides said about the meaning of Blima? We spoke about it last week. He said, stop your mouth from speaking. Stop your mind from receiving thoughts. Be in a state of without connection to physicality. As we read this Mishnah, there are certain sections that relate to each other. Let's look at these relationships. Relationship number 1, 10, not 9, and 10, not 11. Relationship number 2, understand with wisdom and be wise with understanding. Relationship number 3, examine or test with them, probe and explore from them. Relationship number 4. Stand a thing upon its base, its pedestal, its foundation, its creator. Return it to its place. The Ramak, Rabbi Moshe Cordovero, teaches that the purpose of this Mishnah is to stop us from making a mistake. What is the mistake? To count Dat, which means knowledge, along with Keter, as part of the 10 Sefirot. Let's discuss this in more detail below. What do you think the meaning of number 1 above? Number 1 relationship, 10 not 9, 10 not 11. What do you think is its meaning? Here is the space for you to express your thoughts. What is the meaning as far as you can perceive right now?
Do you want an answer from us?
Yes, I do. I want you to be thinking.
Well, I think... Should I respond?
Go ahead. Yes, go
okay.
ahead.
Well, if we would count Dot, it would be 11, and if we left out Keter, it would be 9, wouldn't it, I think?
Yes, but that's the mistake that's being described by the Ramak that I've mentioned. What are your thoughts? What do you think 10 and not 9 means? What do you think 10 and not 11 means? But let's move on, because we have limited time today. But when I do ask these questions, there's meaning to this question. There's something that you need to contemplate. The number 10 has multiple. The meaning of the number 10 has multiple, because 10 is not one. And yet, within the number 10, there is the number 1. So 10 is also expressing a unity. The Sephirot are 10, but there's only one God. And this has always been the criticism of the Kabbalists when they speak of the 10 Sephirot, which are very real and yet illusionary, because they're blima. There has always been a machloket, an argument for the sake of heaven, is the way it's translated. This is a discussion seeking truth. A machloket in the Kabbalists, within the Kabbalah, a machloket is a discussion or an argument which has as its motivation the search for truth. In the Talmud, many times these boil down to two different opposing opinions, which the Talmud will not choose one over the other. This is because, in the phrases of the Talmud, these and these are the words of the ever-living Creator, meaning both are truths depending on the observer's perception. The Machloket in the Kabbalah regarding the Sephirah of Keter, is it a vessel or is it light? Does it share only or does it also receive? Remember, the word Keter means crown. A crown is connected to the king and his body, yet it is outside of the king and his body. What do you think? Again, here's space for your verbal discussion, which, because of time, I'm not going to let it go. But I want you to be thinking about what's been written here. What is it really saying? In modern astronomy, not astrology, astronomy, the planet Pluto was revealed in approximately the year 1850. In the approximate year of 1995, because I didn't take the time to look up these exact dates, the consensus of the astronomers is that Pluto does not meet the minimum size to be called a planet. Is Pluto a planet, or is it not a planet? In other words, this is the same machloket that the Kabbalists have. Pluto was discovered by virtue of a calculation or anomaly in certain movements of Uranus and Neptune and Jupiter and Saturn, and in these anomalies where the gravity seemed to pull these planets away from their orbits, there had to be something doing that. And that was discovered or revealed to be the planet Pluto. And yet now it's not a planet. This has been the same machloket that the Kabbalists have had for centuries. Is Keter a planet? Is Keter a Sephirah? Or is it light? Is it a vessel? Or is it light? Here is some interesting additional information. When the string theory, the modern physics theory called the string theory, which says that everything is created through the consciousness and the vibration of very, very small strings, the string theory was being developed there was a significant discussion as to how many dimensions does it work, that makes it work. They originally said it was 9 dimensions. Then they said the calculation was wrong and it was 11 dimensions. And finally they settled the mathematical formula, and it only works with 10 dimensions or 26 dimensions. And you should be aware by now that 26 implies the tetragrammaton. Now let's discuss why the Sefer Yetzirah says 10 and not 11. If we accept that Keter is not a vessel, then there must be a method of balancing the two Sefirot of Chachma and Bina. This non-Sefirah is called Dat, which means knowledge, but it's not a Sefirah. And in many, many times in the Tree of Life glyph, in the chart, it's put in the middle between Chachma and Bina. On the central column, it's put there, but it was a dotted circle, because it's not truly a Sefirah. And yet, the word Chabad, which you're all familiar with as the religious organization, Chabad stands for Chachma, Bina, and Dat. It's not a Sefirah, but why would they choose it as part of their name? The non-Sefirah called Dat, meaning knowledge, is always the balance point between wisdom and understanding, between Chachma and Bina. This balance point has been called a Sefirah by some people, some Kabbalists. This would imply that there are 11 Sefirot and not 10. The Sefer Yetzirah needed to inform us that it is 10 and not 11, so that we did not make this mistake. There are two concepts in Kabbalah that relate to light. The phrases are from above to below, and the phrase from below to above. When we count upwards, Keter is a Sefirah. When we count downwards, Dat is the Sefirah that is used. Understand this well and why it is true. It will help you in your study of Kabbalah. I'm not going to explain why we count downwards, Dat is the Sefirah, but I'm explaining to you that as you meditate on the tree, as you communicate and experience the Sefirot, you'll also have a discussion with Dat, and you'll find out why it's not a Sefirah. Here are some additional thoughts regarding Keter. The philosopher Descartes teaches, I think, therefore I am. Is this true or false? Is it truth? Keter is the I in that sentence. I think, therefore I am. Kabbalah calls Keter the higher, or the supernal will. Keter is not inside the body, nor is it inside the mind. It is outside the mind. What? I am out of my mind? Yes, your Keter is outside of your mind, and thank God that it is. Otherwise, when the body dies, you would die, chas v'shalom. You do not die when the body dies. You are the I. You are encapsulated in the Keter. I exists prior to the statement, I think. Even when you do not think, you exist. When you're unconscious, when you're sleeping, you exist. This is the Keter. It's outside of you. Since Dat, which means knowledge, is not a Sephirah, we do not have to delve into it at this point. We will in other classes. I will only say that Dat is the balance point between Chachma, meaning wisdom, and Bina, understanding. The Western mind is always trying to understand. Why does Kabbalah teach you to scan and not understand? The receipt of energy is blocked and filtered by the ego of understanding. Please contemplate this sentence. I'll say it again. The receipt of energy is blocked and filtered by the ego of understanding. Do you want all of the energy available in the Torah? Do you want all of the joy? Or do you only want the joy that you can understand? Why are you happy? The next time you wake up happy and do not have a reason, think about becoming depressed, chas v'shalom. Do you want everything or only what you can understand? What is this meaning of number two above? Again, I've left space for your thoughts, but we don't have the time. Understand with wisdom and be wise with understanding. This is poetic language. It's beautiful. But it's much more than simple poetry. It is a form of meditation that trains the mind to be able to integrate the conscious with the unconscious. It is the training that brings you to the balance point called Dat. Intellect without intuition is incomplete. Intuition without understanding leads you astray. Only the balance point is the correct path to follow. This is the ultimate teaching of Torah. The Ahavta L'Re'acha Kamocha. Love your neighbor as yourself. Do you love God as like you love yourself? How can you love something that you don't even sense? Do you love your spouse like you love yourself? Search out the balance point of these sentences, or are they meditations? Understand with wisdom. Be wise with understanding. Describes a Hebrew phrase which means sechel tenuda. My teacher translates this as oscillating consciousness. Sechel means brain or mind. Tenuda means oscillating. Sechel net tenuda. I'll be saying this quite a bit today. It's a very real phrase and a very real state. Let me give you a practical intellectual example. My shirt is white. The garment of my soul is white. The thoughts of the mind oscillate. Souls have garments. What is white? How is a shirt a garment? What is a garment of the soul? Is it a shirt? And on and on and on, deeper and deeper, more questions, more answers. The mind runs, and the mindset runs, until the Keter gives over some of its information to Chachma, and Chachma relates it to Bina. And what does all that mean? Seichel Tenuda, oscillating mind. Back and forth, forth and back, and around about again. This is what happens when you meditate and do not remember the meditation. Here's the process to achieve Seichel Tenuda. Start with a psalm or a verse or some verses from the Torah or a treatise, a paragraph, or a Kabbalistic essay, or something that is physically profound to you, or recite holy names, always contemplating the meaning of the sounds. Please note, the word is recite, not read. It needs to be said out loud. This is one of the reasons that the halakha is to say a blessing out loud. Allow your mind to drift, to make associations. Maybe they start with logical associations. Allow the drift into illogical associations. Let your mind flow. Utilize the freedom to flow. Do not stop the flow. This you will do with your conscious mind. You will stop your flow. The conscious mind is not receiving physical sensation, which means it is connected to physicality. As long as you receive physical sensation, you are connecting to physicality. And when you connect with physicality, you stop this flow of seichel tenuda. But if you let the flow continue, then the flow goes into the unconscious, which it cannot do when you are still speaking out loud. This is all daydreams. This is all the things your parents told you not to do because it was not practical. Understand with wisdom. Be wise with understanding. Back and forth, forth and back, and go where you go. See what you see. Hear what you hear. See what you hear. Hear what you see. All of this is not physical. Let it go. Control your descent into yourself, into your unconscious, and learn what you are to know. What is the meaning of item number 3 above? Again, there's a space for your answer. Test them. Not test them. There are two words in Hebrew that translate as test. One word means to test like a scientist. One means to experience like a mystic. This is the word to experience. Let me give you an example to understand the difference. Is the glass of water hot or cold? I do not know. Let us put a thermometer in the water and find out. Oh, it is 45 degrees. That's pretty cold in Los Angeles, but quite warm in Alaska in the winter. Test it. Drink the water. See if your tongue gets cold. This is what it means to test it. Experience it. Now that you have experienced what you have experienced, it's time to cloak it. Veil it. Put it into a vessel so that there is a spirit and a form to everything. If there is no form, there can be no revelation. There can be no experience brought into the conscious mind. And that is why we sometimes do not remember our meditations. We never cloaked them. We never brought them into a vessel. We never explored what the Sefer Yetzirah says from them. We never experienced from them. They must fit into a structure of perception. Our conscious mind needs to perceive them. And in order for our conscious mind to perceive them, our unconscious perceptions must be put into a vessel. Yet know that the structure of perception in our conscious minds is false and misleading. Yet this is the only way we can bring this revelation into our consciousness. It's false, but it's the tool we have. It's misleading, but it's the tool we have to use. A meditation that does not bring information down to earth is not Torah. This is a significant difference between other spiritual paths and the spiritual path of Kabbalah. The purpose of meditation is not to ascend to heaven. It is to bring heaven down to earth. Do not tell me how wonderful your Seichel Tenudah has been. Tell me how you have changed from your Seichel Tenudah. Otherwise, you have not brought heaven to earth. Examine from them. You test and then examine what you can bring into your daily life. This is why we have three worlds. Olam Briah, explore the mind. Explore the feelings in Olam Yetzirah. And bring the exploration of the feeling into the world of action, Olam Asiyah. Examination is the most important aspect of a meditation. Examine what's the meaning of number four above. Standing something on its base or its pedestal or its foundation or its creator. What does this mean? Here is your space to answer, but again, we don't have time. Everything is related to Malchut. Bring it all down to earth. Why do we pray? Why do we pray while we're standing? Do you think that God needs our respect, which is the answer the religious give to why we pray standing? That is why we stand when we pray. If this is your answer, you have not learned anything from the Kabbalah. Bring everything down to the physical world. Live in the mud. Lift up the diamond in the mud and clean it up. Do not elevate it back to heaven. Guard it so that it won't get dirty anymore. Yet your job is to keep searching for the sparks in the mud. What is the metaphor of mud? I cannot see through the mud, but I can feel the ooze of the mud and sense when the diamond is available to me. Now is the time to show you a technique that can be used in every pasuk, every verse of the Torah, of the Tanakh. It is extremely useful in that it allows you to enter Seichel Tenudah. The outcome of each entry is a different dimension, a different world. After you do this technique, and you learn how to do this technique, return to this location for a final warning and a final teaching. I'm actually going to give you the warning before we click on the link. There's an additional handout that is only accessed at this point. We will come back to this point and go there. But first, let me give you the warning. But actually, before I give you the warning, I want to stress this next handout is what the Kabbalists have been hiding from the world for generations, for thousands of years. This is what the Kabbalists have been hiding because people could not understand it. People could not cope with it. People could not know who they are. And you will discover who you are in this process. but you have to do the work. This is an amazing revelation of light. This is an amazing tool to use, constantly use, frequently use. It takes practice. The warning, 10 and not 11 from this Mishnah is teaching us about the negative systems of meditation. The negative systems that most of you have learned already. They're used within the New Age teachings, and they're used within the Eastern religions. The chakra system has 7 chakras. Everyone speaks about how this is the same as the 7 lower sephirot. It is not the same. The Kabbalists teach us that God created this against that. Everyone who does not know says it is the same. It's not the same. It's based on the same system that creates the breaking of the vessels. There is no communication between the chakras, and that leads to corruption. There is also a teaching of meditation in the Eastern religions and the New Age aspects that's based on 11 and not 10. This is also a corruption. It is the negative tree, which has 10 sephirot and a captured spark of holiness, which is the 11th. Do not follow these systems. Do not use this system. Do not use the system we just learned with the techniques of these meditations, because they are corrupted. And when you use those techniques that you've learned, you will follow where the corruption takes you. You will follow dimensions and worlds under the control of the negative system. Follow what I teach you. Practice what I teach you. Or caveat emptor, the Latin phrase that means let the buyer beware. Let the user beware of the effect. Follow what I am teaching you exactly, and you will succeed and be happy with the result. Otherwise, caveat emptor. Up to now, I have told my students a white lie. Following these techniques of the New Age and the Eastern meditation leaves you in the earthbound planes. Actually, it brings you into the realm of the negative system and their corrupted worlds and dimensions. Please do not do it. The astrological section was taught early in this class. It has to do with the planet, the non-planet, Pluto. And as I said, well, this last paragraph we don't need to read now. Go back to the link and click on the link. You can reach it by typing in sy3-jpg.htm.
Okay.
Yes.
Can you repeat the three words? sy3-?
sy3-, the letter J, the letter P is in Paul, the letter G is in Guy, .htm.
Thank you.
Read after studying the original handout. This handout that we're now going to start is a technique that is to be applied by you to every verse that resonates with your soul. Every verse in the Tanakh, every one of your personal energy verses, this technique is to be utilized. It's a technique that has been hidden from the world by the Kabbalists. It's a very powerful technique. It is taking the energy of the verse, of any given verse. It takes the energy and brings it down It concentrates that energy into something less, something smaller, something more intense. The prophet Ezekiel is unique. He reported visions from his prophecies that are different than the other prophets. He is the only reported prophet to see what he saw outside of the land of Israel. His prophecies have been studied by the Kabbalists for generations. The technique that I am teaching you today is one of these techniques of the schools of the prophets. We are using specifically a verse from Ezekiel for the purpose of the prophecy outside of Israel. This technique applies to every verse in the Tanakh. This is the first verse in the prophecy of Ezekiel, chapter 1, verse 1. Vayehi b'sheloshim shana b'rivei b'cham t'misha l'chadosh v'ani b'toch hagola al nehar kevar Neftihu Hashemayim Va'aretz Marot Elohim. It happened in the 30th year, in the fourth month, on the fifth of the month, as I was among the exile by the river Kevar, the heavens opened and I saw visions of Elohim. Why do I need to know that it was the fourth month, the 30th year, the fifth of the month? There are many different answers to that question. Ignore the first word when you actually understand the trope, the aspect of the letters that deals with the chanting of the Torah itself. When you learn to speak with trope, you'll realize that the trope and certain aspects of the trope are automatic separators. So we don't use that first word. Count the balance of the letters. There are 70 letters. 70 is the gematria of the word sod, which means secret. Here's another approach. You can count even the first word, and then you'll have 74 letters, which is Ayin Dalet, which is the word witness. This verse is a witness to the many secrets, including the secret of Sechel Tenuda, oscillating consciousness, as taught in today's class. Count the words. Leave off the first, as we discussed above. There are 17 words in total. 17 is the gematria of good. This is a Kabbalistic technique to create Shem Kadosh, holy names, from rearranging the letters in a verse. See if you can understand how the first letters in the words of the verse are used below. Go look at the verse. take the first letter of each word and see how the word, this sequence of 17 letters are actually 16 letters because we don't use the first verse, the first word. See how they came together into this sequence. And now put the vowels that are in the verse on that first letter of each word, and that's the vowel for this letter. Rearrange the letters into two-letter words, three-letter words, and four-letter words as you see fit, as you decide, keeping the order of the letters. My teacher did it this way. Besha Pavel Vavha Ankh Nechawa Ima. Now sit in a relaxed position and repeat the above sounds until you transform your mind from your conscious level to your unconscious level. This is known as seeing visions of God. Besha Bavel Vavha Ankh Nechawa Ima. Besha Bavel Vavha Ankh Nechawa Ima. Besha Bavel Vavha Ankh Nechawa Ima. Repeat the sounds over and over. Use it. Go where you will, let your mind run, but keep repeating the sounds until you stop. As we taught you last week. Yet it is not sufficient to see visions of God. One must bring this God down to earth, bring heaven down to earth. The path is from the unconscious mind to the conscious mind and then to the balance, the emotions with the conscious mind and then down to an action done in the physical world. This is meditation. Meditation is not meant to be relaxing. That's the Eastern concepts. That's the negative system. Meditation is meant to reveal wisdom. Meditation is meant to reveal wisdom in the physical world. That's what it means to bring heaven down to earth. I wish you good visioning. And now I have just a quick mention, as we're fairly close to being through, to being over with our hour. I wish you good visioning with this technique. I wish you this technique to practice, to use with the energy verses from your name. Remember your energy verses. What are they really teaching you? You may have heard me say, I'm tired this morning and I'm not saying it properly. But you've heard me sing the last verse in the last Psalm, Psalm 150. It's verse 6 because there's 6 verses in that Psalm. And you've heard me say some sounds after I've said that. I've done that on Saturday morning prayer. Why do I do that? Because that sound that I repeat is this technique applied to that verse. And it has the name of God, Kaf Hei Taf. It has the 8th name of God, Kaf Hei Taf. All of that came through this technique. It's taking that verse, which is the Malchut of Malchut of Malchut, bringing it into a concentrated form of energy. This technique is extremely powerful. When you do it properly, you will go to the positive worlds, the positive dimensions. You may meet entities there that you are frightened of, but if you do this properly, those entities that frighten you is yourself. You're meeting yourself in these worlds, in these dimensions. There's no negative entities in these worlds and these dimensions when done properly. You have received tremendous wisdom today. Consider exchanging energy for energy so that you use this wisdom in a balanced way. Does anybody have any questions? Did I lose you?
No. Yes. Standing in awe.
It is awe-inspiring, but it's practical. It's an amazing tool. Use the tool. All of a sudden, those energy verses will have a totally different meaning to you because they will be you talking to yourself using Sechel Tenuvda. Running and returning, oscillating consciousness. Remember, what I've taught you today is not what I've taught you today is not an intellectual understanding. It's how to experience it. Are there any questions? Today's classes, there will be a class on binding by striking at 5:30 this afternoon. We all need practice in binding by striking. We all need a refresher course in binding by striking. I don't care how many times you've heard the course, the classes, you still need to hear it again. Please consider joining us on the conference call. At 8:30 tonight, we will have a continuation of our four phases. This is the class where we start to apply the four phases. Where are you in your life? Phase one. Phase two, phase three, phase four. Are you in darkness? Are you in light? Where are you? The four phases is a tool to be utilized. And this is the class that helps you achieve that. Tomorrow night is our 18th class in the Advanced Reincarnation Series. Come join us, hear it directly, or wait for the recording as you have the time. This Thursday night is an all-night study. This Thursday night is the fifth of Av. It's the fifth of the fifth month. It's Hod Shebechod. In a different structure, a different cycle of the Omer, Rabbi Shimon left on the 33rd day of the Omer, Chod Shubachod. The Ari left on Chod Shubachod, the fifth day of the fifth month, which is Av. He left right in the middle of the 9 days, the most negative 9 days of the year. Where the 3 weeks are negative, the 9 days is a more intense negativity. He left us. He made his Hilulah, his day of joy, available to us. Come join us as we make that connection to the Ari by studying his material, by studying what he has to say.
At what time on Thursday?
Thursday starts at midnight, so it's really Friday morning.
Okay. Thank you.
Last opportunity. Any questions?
No, thank you.
Say again? I'm sorry, I didn't hear what you had to say. Please say again. Have a beautiful week.
Practice
hard.
Thank you.
Thank you. Shalom.